the ultimate source and power for the accomplishment of our sanctification. God is the source of our victory. God is the source of our sanctification. Look at verses 20 through 23 and verses 27 through and 28. Now, this whole passage, right? This whole passage, God is preparing His people for the rest of the journey. And a hard journey it is. If you look, the Israelites have many enemies ahead of them. You can see that. Many battles ahead of them. And this is no easy task. It's a pretty daunting task. One that could cause discouragement. One that even could cause some of them to want to turn back. Some that will be tempted to turn back, as we'll see in the journey. But I want you to see in these verses specifically what God said to encourage His people for the battle and for the journey. Right? He basically says, I will do this for you. God is basically encouraging His people to continue on because He's promised them that He will win the victory. He's the source, right, of the accomplishment of this task that He's given His people to possess the promised land. He tells them in verse 20, He says, I'm going to send an angel to you. And this angel's going to guard you. He's going to keep you. He's going to stay with you. And He's going to lead you right into the promised land for you. And then in verses 27 and 28, 22 and 23, 27 and 28, all four of those verses, God says five times, I will. Do you see that? I will completely destroy your enemies. I will make your enemies my enemies, your adversaries my adversaries. I will cause your enemies to turn their back on you. I will send hornets ahead of you. I, the Lord, will do this thing. Five times, I will, right? So again, all the burden, the Lord saying, it's on me, people. You're my people. I'm going to do this thing for you. So please be encouraged and go forth as I call you to. Now, what does this mean for the Israelites then, right? If the Lord's going to do it, what does it mean? Well, for one, this means that they could rest easy. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean they should be able to sleep at night. They should have peace of mind and heart to know that the Lord's going to accomplish this. There's no need to worry and stress and fret and be anxious. For the Lord said He will do it. Is there anything the Lord said He'll do He won't do? No. The Lord says He's going to do it. It's going to happen. So why would we fret over something that is as sure as anything in this world? And so the Israelites have that assurance, right? And so when the burden comes, and the burden will come, we see the battle and there's this weight that comes upon us and we want to take it on. What do we have to do? We got to take that burden and cast it. That's what the Israelites need to do. It's on you, Lord. You said you'd do this. So therefore, the burden for the victory is you. Let me give it to you where it belongs. Let me try to quit taking this thing because it'll crush me. And it will. Now, even though the Israelites were called to take it easy, that didn't mean they could take it easy. That didn't mean they didn't have to do anything. They had to do more than just cross the Jordan when it came time, right? They had to work. They had to pray. They had to march. They had to fight. And specifically, they had to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. He even warns them. He says, my part is I'll do this. Your part is listen to me and obey me. And be careful, verse 21. Be sure you don't disobey the voice of my angel. Don't rebel against him. Because he won't pardon you. My name is in him. So listen. So again, God says, my victory. You do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of it. Now we see the story of the angel. I won't pass it up. We have questions, right? Who in the world is this? Who is this angel the Lord's sending? As you may anticipate or know, lots of different explanations or attempts at explanations for this. Who could this be? Some people believe it was just a pillar of cloud and light by night. Some people believe this was Moses. Moses is the guy who they should listen to. God warned him many times, you better listen to the voice of my servant. He's going to lead you. I can see that. Some believe it's Joshua, Well, because Joshua's the one that's actually going to lead them in the promised land. If you're going to go with this as a man, that's where I would go. Because it says this angel's going to go before you and lead you into the promised land. Still, others take the very straightforward approach, right? Which is, it's an angel. The Lord says it's an angel. So it's an angel whom God sent to guard, keep his people, and lead his people. Yet there's another explanation. That's one I lean toward. I believe that this could very well be the pre-incarnate Christ himself. I believe this for a couple of reasons. One, God says, my name's in him. That tells me something's a little different about this angel than others, possibly. And also, the New Testament, in many places, heavily implies that Christ was present with his people in the wilderness. So because of those things, I lean there. I'm not going to be dogmatic because I can't say that. I can't say, it's this way, you're wrong if you don't. I can't do that. But that's the way I lean. But no matter what the right translation is, I think this angel definitely points us to Christ. Because is this not who Christ is to us? I mean, this angel has been promised to the Israelites to be with them and guard them. Has not Christ promised us the same thing? To always be with us? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has promised through Christ to always be present with us. And isn't he? I mean, you look at this story and you think, wow, there's this angel that was present with these people all the time. How amazing is that? I want to tell you what's more amazing is that God himself dwells in you all the time. If you're his, the Holy Spirit is with you. Christ is with you through the Holy Spirit always, even from now on forever if you're his. That's what's amazing. So we have Christ with us. Not only that, but the angel was promised to guide them, right? If they follow him, do what he said. Christ has promised the same thing for us. He's our shepherd. He says, you know, I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep. Listen to me, my sheep will hear my voice and obey me. I'll lead you. Lead you right where you need to go. So Christ is that shepherd. And then, of course, the angels promised to defeat all their enemies for them. Has Christ not already defeated all our enemies for us? Sin, death, Satan. Now, all three of these don't quite know that they're dead yet. They don't quite know they're defeated. So there's these battles that constantly come, right? But God, through Christ, has promised that he will go on and complete that victory for us. Who began a good work certainly is going to complete it. And so we have all these promises in Christ. So what's that mean for us? It means the same thing as it did for the Israelites, right? The accomplishment for this thing, right? Our sanctification journey all the way into the promised land, which is heaven, where the fullness of our blessing will be had, right? Is all on the Lord. It's his burden. He says, I'll do this thing, right? He basically says, I have done this thing. And so we should be able to rest easy. We should be able to sleep at night. We should be able to have peace and not worry and be anxious and fret over these things because God says, I will do it. And anything the Lord has said he will do, he most certainly will do. So the Lord is the source and the power of this thing. Just like we sang, a mighty fortress is our God. When the enemies come, and they will, let us go to the Lord and put all of our hope, all of the burden for the victory where it belongs, with the Lord. Amen? He will accomplish this thing. But it also means for us what it meant for them. Then it means we don't do nothing. We don't do anything. We don't take it easy. We got work to do. We got to pray. We got to march, right? We got to fight these battles. God calls for active obedience in these things. He calls for us to listen to his voice and do what he tells us to do. This is our part. The victory is the Lord's. The accomplishment's his. We talked about that. It never amazes me. Sunday school, right? Sanctification. He's the source. But we must obey and follow. That's the first lesson. What's the second lesson? Well, the second lesson is this. Our sanctification doesn't come all at once, brothers and sisters. It comes little by little. Verses 29 to 31, right? I will not drive them out before you in a single year. So the Lord says, I'm going to go before you, right? That's what a great comfort. I will go ahead of you. I will even send hornets. You know, I'll use these nasty insect creatures to drive out the Canaanites. Before you even get there, I'll do this, right? But he says, it's not going to happen all at once. Not going to happen in a day. Not going to happen in a week. Not even going to happen in a year. It's going to go little by little. That's the way the Lord says. Gradual process over time. And it took a long time. You look at verse 31 when he says, you know, this is what it looks like when it's going to be complete. He says, your borders, right, will be fixed from the Red Sea. I think that's where they left Egypt. They crossed that Red Sea. Wow. Their territory will be from there to the Sea of the Philistines. That's the Mediterranean, right? All that territory. And then from the wilderness, right, in the west, all the way to the river Euphrates in the east. Man, that's going all the way to Babylon. Wow. But did this ever happen? Yes, it did. Late in King David's reign and through the height of Solomon's reign, this was the territory of the Israelites and all their glory. The Lord did this thing, but it took hundreds of years for it to take place. Hundreds of years from the beginning, from when they first entered till when it was accomplished. And I'm sure the Israelites really wanted it to happen a lot faster than that. I'm sure they would have liked to have marched into Canaan one day, watched their enemies fall and march out the next day. Right? I'm sure that they probably could have even envisioned it to happen that way. But that was not the Lord's plan. And rightfully so. Why? They weren't ready for that. They couldn't handle all the land at once. If all the Canaanites had been taken out at once, the land would have become desolate. Fields would have grown up wild. Houses and buildings that they couldn't occupy would have deteriorated and fallen apart. Wild animals would have come in, predators, and occupied the land. So God, in his infinite wisdom, said, no, I'm going to wait till you're more fruitful, right? Your numbers get larger, and you can actually take it all over. I'll just, little by little, I'll let you take it over. What could have been very frustrating, and I'm sure it was to the Israelites, was actually the best for them. We have much to learn from this. I myself included. But our sanctification is the same way. Whether it be individually or the body as a whole. It's little by little, isn't it? He does not sanctify us all at once. He does not let us possess the whole land at once. He gives it to us little by little over a gradual process. I don't know if you're like me, but I'd rather have it all at once. Lord, just do this thing, right? Give me victory over sin. Let me be like Christ now. I want this sanctification process complete for me and the whole body. But the Lord says, no, that's not best for you, right? It's going to be little by little. Little by little, day by day, you'll die a little to yourself and you'll take a little more ground for Christ. Little by little. Sanctified. This is how the Lord works. This is what the Lord does in us as His people. So let's remember, brothers and sisters, when we want to get frustrated with it, right? When we're tempted to be frustrated with struggle with sin. Just wish the Lord would give me victory in this sin. Why am I being allowed to struggle in this? Remember, this is the way the Lord works, little by little. Whenever we're tempted to be frustrated and wanting to see more fruit, where's the fruit? Where's more of the power of the Holy Spirit just accomplishing these things before us? Where's it at? Remember, the Lord typically brings this about little by little. We're tempted to despair. Right? In our own life or even in the life of our children. And we want to see more fruit. We want to see their salvation. The Lord does not do these things typically all at once. He works little by little, right? Giving us a little ground. Remember, He's the one doing it. That's what we forget. Again, it goes back to the first one. He's the one giving us the victory, right? This is the way He says He'll do it. So what do? Well, we got to listen and obey. And just trust Him and follow Him, right? Jesus, you're my shepherd. You take the ground, I'll follow. When it's done this way, it's for our benefit, it's for His glory, it's for our good, doesn't it? And when He takes it little by little, what's this make us do? Well, it makes us go to Him, right? Lord, you're the one. You've got to do this, so it should drive us to our knees in prayer. should drive us to the Word. It should drive us to all the means the Lord's given us to seek Him. Because my goodness, Lord, if it's going to happen, it's got to be You. I can't do this thing, so it should drive us to the Lord. Man, that is wisdom. Because we know if it was all at once, what do we want to do? We want to rest. Right? The Lord says, no, it's little by little. You're not ready to take the whole thing. And when He does it this way, isn't the ground we occupy much richer and deeper? That's what He's brought me to understand. It's like, look, when you came in and you take it one point at a time, you come to understand it more and by faith more and you worship Me more. And that is so true. When if we all had it all at once, we would miss half of it or more and the Lord would not receive the glory. The Lord in all His wisdom has brings us about little by little. Little by little. So that's the second lesson. Let us be patient, brothers and sisters, and wait on the Lord. Because if He does it, He's going to do it in His time. We've got to trust Him. This will go on all our life. All right, so what's the third lesson? The third lesson of our sanctification is this. It's all on the Lord, His victory, His accomplishment. He does it little by little. And here's the third. Our greatest enemy in sanctification is compromise. Our greatest enemy is compromise. Now look at the rest of the verses, 24 to 26, and then 32 to 33 at the end. Right? The Lord says, I'm going to do this for you. But I'm not going to do it all at once. I'm going to go in and take it gradually. You're going to take a little ground, a little at a time. Even though that was the wisdom of the Lord and the best for them, the Lord still knew that there, because of this, because it would be done this way, there would be a great temptation for His people. You know what that temptation was? Their temptation would be, when they got to a certain point, to just let the Canaanites that were left stay. Let them just peacefully coexist with us, because this sure does take a lot of effort to go in and do the battle and drive them out. So when we get so far, we've got this thing. They can't beat us. We see that. Let's just let them stay. The Lord knew that would be the worst thing for His people to ever do. He knew they would be tempted and they would be ensnared, as it says, and they would end up worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites, right? The longer the Canaanite people stayed, whoever they were, the more likely his people were to be led astray. Why? Because it's so much easier to be influenced than it is to be an influencer, isn't it? That's the way it works. One commentator said, given the sinful propensities of the human heart, it is far easier for the false and debased to degrade the true than for the pure to elevate the corrupt. And so, you know that. You know the human heart. The Israelites, God's people. Why couldn't they influence these Canaanites and bring them back? Because that doesn't work that way. No, all the evil and the wickedness and the sinfulness in the Canaanites is going to bring the Israelites right down with them. And the Lord said, don't you do that. He basically told them one. He warned them at the end of verse 33, at the end of the passage. He said, if you let them stay, they will ensnare you. It's not an if. They're going to cause you to sin against Me. It's a warning. So He said, it surely will be a snare to you. So He warned them. And two, He gave them a zero tolerance policy to follow. Right? He told them, you are forbidden to worship their gods. You are forbidden to make a covenant or a peace treaty with these people. Do not do it. And you shall take their pillars and their idols and you shall destroy them. In other words, you are to do the hard work and to totally cleanse the land of these people and their false gods. This is what the Israelites were called to do. Listen to Me. Obey Me. And then He says, you know, I'm not going to ignore this. He says in verses 24 to 26, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your socks off, basically, right? It's a promise of the Lord. He says, I'll bring you into the land and your water and your bread, man. You won't have to worry about that. In other words, you'll always have food to an abundance. You'll grow old. You won't be barren, right? You won't get sick. Wow. Now we've got to be careful with this, right? We want to jump off into the, you know, the prosperity gospel with this thing. We've got to understand what the Lord's doing. The Lord's using here with His people. He specifically promised these Israelites at this time these things. And he's using physical blessings to teach a spiritual lesson, right? I personally think this ultimately points to the fullness of the blessing we're going to receive in our promised land, right? Because we're going to get the blessings at their fullest, right? But God's teaching the basic principle for all of us here that the pathway to blessing is what? Obedience. Do what I say, and you shall be blessed. It's not the pathway to salvation. Christ is the path to salvation. But the path to blessing is obedience unto the voice of the Lord. And the Lord says, if you'll do these things that I'm telling you to do, I will bless you. There it is. Now, sadly, what did the Israelites do? They didn't obey. They left some Canaanites in the land. Right? I mean, they got to a certain point. Joshua was faithful. What a man. He grew old, and here's your territory. And you know, but there's still all these pockets. You got to keep going. And they did some, but boy, they made covenants, and they let's just let them stay. And throughout the history of the nation of Israel, they were ensnared into the false worship of these pagan peoples their entire existence, and they still are. They didn't listen. They didn't do the hard work. They didn't drive it out. What's the lesson for us? Do not compromise. The Lord calls us to take the land little by little, but we are to never stop. We are to never compromise and allow the enemy to dwell peacefully with us, right? Oh, what's the harm in that? Just a little bit. That won't hurt us, right? Just a little bit of gossip, be okay. A little bit of pornography. A little bit of self-pity. Just compromise with the enemy, the pagans around us, right? The world. Just a little bit of that won't hurt me. I got this under control. Right? The Lord's given me victory. I got enough Jesus right now. If we do that, before you know it, we'll be on the other end and we'll be going, well, it's just a little less time in the Word. It's okay. It's just a little less time in prayer. It's okay. Just a little more time away from the body, that's okay. Before you know it, where are we going to be? We're going to wake up and we're serving at the altars of the pagan gods around us. Compromise is the enemy. We shall not compromise. We should be asking our questions and seeking the Lord constantly this as He takes ground for us. Lord, what is it that shouldn't be there? What should be driven out of my heart? What should be driven out of my land? What should be driven out of my home? Lord, what hinders me? What am I allowing? And ask Him to win the victory, but keep seeking Christ. Keep seeking Him to take it totally and completely in our life, brothers and sisters. This is the only acceptable thing. If we compromise, right down the slope we go. We must be determined to take the whole land, not relying on our own strength. The Lord will do it, right? But we seek the Lord. We do what the Apostle Paul called us to do, right? Keep running that race, brothers and sisters. Keep seeking the prize. That's Christ, right? Until when? Until He brings us in the promised land, right? He's going to bring us in the fullness of our blessing, and we see His face and blood-washed linen. Oh, the grace of God. We'll see it in all His fullness. It's a promise of God to us. Right? Let's trust Him. Let's seek Him with all our hearts and all our minds, all our strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see the enemy. And the enemy really is our compromise. It's okay. We'll just let it stay. Lord, if we let it stay, it'll take over everything. Completely ensnares. You warn us, we will sin. We will worship at their altars. Father, help us to see Your truth, to trust You and obey. Let us be patient, knowing that You do this a little at a time. Lord, let us put the burden where it belongs. It's on You ultimately. You who began a good work, You will complete it. So let us just trust and follow. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.